With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now, we're pleased to welcome Shireen Williams, who is a longtime NFL writer and insider for Pro Football Talk and also a Hall of Fame selector. Shireen, Happy New Year. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes with us. It was obviously a really big week for the Hall of Fame selectors, trying to trim this field of 15 finalists down to no more than five. What was it like with everything being done virtually this week?
Well, it was different because it wasn't the day before the Super Bowl like we normally do with all of us gathered, 48 of us gathered in a room and discussing. And it was the longest, I think, in history because it was virtual. It went almost 9 hours. So it was a very, very long day of discussions. But I think it was very productive. And I think whoever the five are, we, of course, don't know who they are. But whoever the five are that come out of that group, I think we're going to be very pleased with the class. I think everyone expects Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson to be on that list of five, and we'll see who the other three are. And then, of course, you have Tom Flores and Bill Nunn and Drew Pearson, who I had the pleasure and honor of presenting this year, and hopefully all three of them get in. So we could have a really good class. It's obviously going to be a big, big weekend, bigger than normal in Canton come August because we have all the presentations from last year and
right.
The special class that didn't get to go in. So it's going to be an incredible weekend in Canton in August. Hopefully we get to have it.
Did you guys get any breaks during that 9 hours or was straight through?
Yeah, it wasn't much of a break. We had a couple, I think two bathroom breaks, and that was about it. So it was not long. It was a very long day.
Well, at least that part is behind you. And as you say, there's a lot of men to be honored still moving forward, including last year's class. So that's one big box that gets checked off the list. Of course, there's a lot more that's being done right now in the world of the NFL. And maybe it's just me, but I'm a little bit surprised at some of the coaching hires, not that these guys aren't qualified, but that the names have kind of popped out of nowhere and really hires that I didn't see coming, like the latest with the Eagles. What's been your reaction to the different jobs you've seen filled over the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the biggest name out there was Eric Bieniemy, and he's still out there, unfortunately. And I think he deserves a head coaching job. Now, I do think he's one of the favorites in Houston. So I think there's still a chance. That's obviously the only opening left, but still a good chance that he ends up with the job. And I know Deshaun Watson wants him. We all know that. He's made that quite clear, and that may be the only thing that saves that relationship if it's savable. That we don't know yet if Deshaun Watson, you know, is willing to stay in Houston, is not going to request a trade, which he hasn't done so far. But I will be disappointed if Eric Bieniemy doesn't get a job for what he's done and not to get a job over these last two hiring cycles and the lack of minorities, frankly, that we've seen. They, you know, the NFL and all these teams and owners made a big case of it, and we're going to fix this, and it's been the same old so far. And so, you know, I hope at some point we do see a change with more minorities getting chances. We did see a few more in front offices, and I think that was a positive step. But beyond that, you know, we really need to see more than just the words that we've been given. We need to see some action where they're actually giving these guys some chances. And I think it starts with the coordinator positions, getting some of these minorities in coordinator positions so they can step up. But as we've seen in this hiring cycle, you don't have to be a coordinator to be hired either. We've seen a lot of that in this hiring cycle.
What other steps could the league potentially take to try to foster more minorities getting these opportunities?
Well, I don't know. You know, they changed the Rooney Rule, so you have to have, you know, multiple, two or more interviews with minority candidates. That was a step, and we did see more interviews with those guys, obviously, because they had to, and then they gave the, you know, incentive with draft picks on the back end, which the 49ers, because they had a minority coach and a minority front office person, Martin Mayhew, went to the Washington football team as the general manager. Because we saw those two, they'll get three third-round picks over the next 3 years, so three total third-round picks that they'll get. And, you know, that was supposed to help, too, incentivize some of these teams, giving minorities more chances within the front office and within these coordinator positions so they can move on to bigger and better things. Either within that team or with other teams. So, you know, they feel like they've taken some steps, but we obviously didn't see that fruition into actual jobs.
Right.
For the most part, we just didn't see enough of that. So, again, I think it'll look better if Houston hires a minority coach, and particularly if it ends up being Eric Bieniemy, I think that would be terrific.
Yes, definitely rooting for him to get an opportunity after a couple of years of him being a top candidate. Shireen Williams of Pro Football Talk is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. The Deshaun Watson conundrum to me is such a fascinating one. If I'm Houston, I do not want to be the franchise that traded away DeAndre Hopkins and then Deshaun Watson. And I don't. It's different than the NBA, where a lot of times when a player requests a trade, that's pretty much it. What are the options for the Texans, even if he would request a trade?
Well, you know, I think at that point, he has a no trade clause, so you get his list of teams that. Well, first you try to repair the relationship. And I, again, none of us knows whether, I don't even know if the Texans know whether it's repairable or not at this point. But if you can repair that relationship, you certainly want to do that. I mean, I think we all would agree. I don't know who would disagree that Deshaun Watson's a top 10 quarterback in this league. And, you know, those guys, those franchise quarterbacks, there's only a handful of them. They don't grow on trees. You don't just go out and get one and, you know, say, all right, here he is. He's going to be our franchise guy. I mean, you know, they tried that with David Carr with the number one overall pick. They, you know, traded for Matt Schaub. They, you know, did all sorts of things to try to find that guy, and they finally got him in Deshaun Watson, and now you want to trade him? I mean, that's just crazy. You want to do whatever you can to make him happy, and maybe that's hiring Eric Bieniemy, but I certainly would go to him and say, what do we need to do here? How can we repair this relationship? That's number one. But if it's not salvageable, if he says, no, I need a trade, then I think at that point you go to him and you say, okay, you got a no trade clause. Give us a list of the teams that you would go to. And then you have a bidding war among those teams. You're in the bidding for him. What's your best offer? And then you take the best offer that you can get for him. And to me, that's a quarterback on a roster, whether that's a Tua or, you know, Matthew Stafford or whoever that might be, whatever team. I think you're definitely getting their starting quarterback plus multiple draft picks. I mean, it would take an awful lot. You know, it would rank right up there probably with the Herschel Walker trade. It's one of the biggest trades in NFL history. We've seen a handful of those trades. And I think that would qualify as one of them, because I think it would take an awful lot to get him from the Texans. It would be amazing for it to happen, you know, and to see Houston lose James Harden and then, as you said, DeAndre Hopkins, and then to lose – this guy, too, just lost George Springer this week. I mean, you know, they're leaving Houston. So, you know, that's kind of my home territory down there. So I hate to see all those guys leaving all at once.
But just to clarify, Shireen, you would trade him no matter what, even though you don't have to?
No, I would not. I would try to repair that relationship. If he told me I will stay if you hire ex coach, whether that's Eric, I mean, we all think it's Eric Bieniemy, but whoever, whatever he would want to stay, definitely would do that. I would know you don't trade a top 10 quarterback ever. I mean, I just think that's a dumb idea. But if they've already gone past the point, you know, there's all sorts of things that he can do to force them. And we saw it with James Harden. There's all sorts of things you can do to force a team to trade you. You know, and one of those ways would be not showing up at all. And, you know, I think that would kind of force the Texans' hand. But, no, if I'm the Texans, I'm trying to do whatever I can to salvage that relationship. And you know, there's still – you look at the year he had an amazing year,
yes.
An unbelievable year. But nobody talks about it because they won four games. So even with him doing what he did, they're still a long way off. That defense was horrible. They have no weapons. Will Fuller's a free agent. They have no money. They have no draft picks. I think they're a long way off from being a really good team, but they have the quarterback, and that's a really great place to start. They have the left tackle. That's another really great place to start. You got two of the cornerstones that you need. Now, how you fill in all those other holes, I don't know. But I do think they have two good starting points there with the left tackle and the quarterback if they can keep the quarterback and keep him happy.
That's just one of the questions about the quarterback position as we head into the new league year. Where do the Colts look for a replacement for the retiring Phillip Rivers?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, they, no pun intended, but they lucked into Andrew Luck after they had Peyton Manning, and they had the 1 year in there that was really utterly terrible that gave them the number one overall pick, that they could just kind of flow with one down year from one great quarterback to the next great quarterback. And then his retirement has left them kind of in a lurch, you know, with the, now looking for third quarterback. I guess it'll be fourth quarterback in 4 years. That they've had, and they all knew when they signed Phillip Rivers that he was a bridge guy, and Jacoby Brissett's a free agent too, and I think they decided after what they saw in 2019 that he wasn't the answer, which is why they went out and got Phillip Rivers. Now, I think that Carson Wentz would fit what they do beautifully, and I think a trade for Carson Wentz would be great for Carson Wentz. It would be great for the Colts, great for him to start over. But it doesn't look like that's what the Eagles are going to do. It looks like they want to try again, like the Texans, to salvage Carson Wentz and make the best of him in a different way than Houston, but stick with the quarterback that they have, and they still think he can be a really good quarterback there with the Eagles and not trading him. Mm. So I don't know. When you start talking about where they draft and – you know, as Chris Ballard pointed out, it's hard to find a quarterback, to hit on a quarterback in the first round. It's not guaranteed, and it's not about picking a quarterback. It's about picking the right quarterback if you draft one. So he certainly didn't make it sound like that would be the route they would go. And then you start looking at, okay, who can we trade for? Who's in free agency? Do we go with another bridge guy like a Ryan Fitzpatrick for 1 year or somebody like that that we can sign for 1 year? A Jameis Winston, whoever that might be, to get us through until we can find out what the answer is our franchise quarterback. But it's not a good position to be in, and it's now the second consecutive year that they're in. Well, third consecutive year,
right.
I guess, they're in this. They didn't know it when Andrew Luck retired before the 2019 season because he retired so late.
We're spending a few minutes with Shereen Williams of Pro Football Talk here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Excuse me. Shereen, thanks so much for hanging on. You talked about Jameis Winston before we took our break as we're kind of going through the various quarterback options. If Drew Brees retires, Sean Payton has already told us he believes the future quarterback is on the Saints roster currently. Could there be a bidding war for Jameis Winston if more than one team wants his services?
Yeah, you know, if I'm Jameis Winston, I certainly go back there and get a chance to start. And I think they like what they have in him, and I think he likes being there. I don't know how many bidding wars we're going to have with the salary cap going down and multiple teams having salary cap problems. And the Saints are among them. I think at this point right now they're an estimated $95 million over the salary cap,
gosh,
if memory serves. So they wouldn't be able to get in a bidding war, and I don't know how many teams would be able to get in a bidding war for anybody at this point. And I think there's going to be a lot of disappointed free agents on the market, and I think you're going to see a lot of one-year deals coming up this year, obviously with the pandemic has sure. just forced that salary cap down. So I don't know if that's the case. I would expect Jameis Winston to go back to New Orleans unless somebody – does open up the checkbook and say, you know, we've got the money and we think you're our answer and we'll sign you to a one-year deal. If it works out for both of us, then we'll come back and give you a bigger deal. Then maybe that's the way he goes. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of quarterback questions right now all around the league. When you look at even a Dak Prescott who remains unsigned with the Cowboys, they'll have to work out a long-term deal with him. And, you know, we mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston and you know, a lot of guys out there, who are going to be free agency and maybe on the trade block moving forward. What do the Rams do with Jared Goff? You know, he's unless they can do some sort of trade, he's on their roster for next year. That doesn't mean he has to start, but it does mean that he's on their roster for next year. So you could see some of these guys moved maybe for next to nothing just to get some of that money off their plate and get them a chance to get a look at a different quarterback to move on. So I think you're going to see some of that too. It's going to be a really interesting offseason.
Do you think Andy Dalton could end up finding a starting job somewhere?
Yeah, he's another one. I think he played pretty well for Dallas when he got to play, and he's another guy that, you know, you could see him as a bridge quarterback. I don't know if anybody's going to look at him and go, hey, he's our quarterback of the future. We're going to give him a four or five-year deal. I don't think we're going to see that. But I do think he's a guy who will look for a starting job and probably go somewhere he can compete for a starting job. And I think he'll get that opportunity somewhere. Somebody will see him as a bridge quarterback. Maybe they draft a young quarterback. You know, maybe if Jacksonville doesn't want to start Trevor Lawrence. I think they will start Trevor Lawrence day one. But, you know, a team like that that's going to draft a quarterback and maybe they're not ready to start the guy. Like we saw what the Chargers were doing and going to plan to do until Tyrod Taylor had his unfortunate situation with his lung collapsing.
Right.
You know, they were going to sit Justin Herbert for the year. So you could see him in a situation like that where he's a starter to start the season. If he plays well, he continues to keep the job. And if he doesn't play well or gets hurt, then the rookie comes in and plays.
Mm. And then in the immediate future, we have championship weekend. It's crazy because all of this other stuff is swirling around, but we still have to crown a champion this year. And the reigning champs are still alive, though they are waiting on their star quarterback to clear concussion protocol. So far, so good for Patrick Mahomes. Both of these games on Sunday, which I think is pretty interesting, are rematches of week six, though so much has changed since then. So thinking AFC and the great story that is the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, what are a couple of keys that you see for the AFC championship?
Well, I think first is how is Mahomes, you know, I think we all expect him to play, but how is that toe? You know, we haven't talked a lot about that toe. And we saw him limping around in that game before he got knocked out of the game with the concussion. So how's that toe? Is it going to affect his mobility? Is it going to affect him in the pocket moving away from the pass rush? You know, he's so good at just drifting back. Is he going to be able to do that? So we're going to find out that early. I would expect Leslie Frazier to put some pressure on him early just to test how that toe is. Is he going to be able to run? He had 36 yards, I think it was, rushing against the Bills the last time they played. So, you know, is he going to be able to do that? To me, that's the top storyline of this game, is just exactly how good he's going to be. And then how, you know, on the other side, it's, I think you still go back to the quarterback. How good is Josh Allen going to play? You know, are they going to get in a shootout? And is he going to have to out-duel Patrick Mahomes in this game? And he's certainly capable of doing it. I mean, we've seen him do it most of the year. But the biggest game of his life, can he do it this week? So, just an intriguing matchup with two young guns. And we're going to see how that plays out. And it's probably going to be the first meeting in the AFC championship game of what I would expect to be a lot of playoff matchups between these two quarterbacks over the years.
For sure. It could be one of those kind of great blossoming relationships or rivalries, similar to what we saw with, say, at Tom Brady and a Peyton Manning. Of course, Tom Brady continues on and other quarterbacks retire. his 14th conference championship. And I love the fact that Lambeau hasn't hosted one of these in 13 years and that there will be some fans there. It's not just about the quarterbacks. You think about the pressure of these two defenses and whether or not they can make the opposing QBs uncomfortable. But what stands out about the NFC?
You know, it's obviously the Rodgers and Brady matchup. We saw it with Brady and Breeze last week. And I think you just appreciate these. You know, last week was probably Drew Breeze's last game. And, you know, we expect both of these quarterbacks to play again next year. But how many times are we going to get to see them play against each other? And I think you just appreciate that, getting to see them go head-to-head. And, you know, we all thought that we would see them in a Super Bowl at some point. It never happened. It got close to happening the year the Packers were up on the Seahawks, and the Seahawks came back and beat them in a game the Packers should have won, and that would have been a matchup between these two guys in a Super Bowl, and it didn't happen. So this is as close as it's going to get now with Brady in the NFC, and so I think that's kind of exciting just to see that quarterback matchup. But it should be a fun, I mean, both of these just look like fun matchups, and the quarterbacks obviously headline both of these matchups, but these rosters of all four of these teams are littered with superstars, which is, which is why they are where they are. And there's going to be somebody that's going to step up in both games and play the part of hero, somebody that we're not even thinking of, whether it's a Mecole Hardman or somebody like that, that maybe it's somebody on defense that steps up and makes a play, Tremaine Edmonds or whoever it might be on any of these teams that steps up and makes a play. And we're like, okay, we didn't see that coming. But every year it's somebody that steps up and make a play that we weren't expecting to do that. So that's going to be fun, too, to figure out who that guy might be in both of these games.
Like Chad Henne?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Chad Henne last week. Who expected that?
No one.
No one.
That was so great. Just the reaction you can imagine in living rooms all over the country when he takes off and runs for 13 yards. Oh, my gosh. Well, it's great to talk to you again. You can find Shereen on Twitter at NFL Shereen, C-H-A-R-E-A-N, and Hall of Fame selector. She's with Pro Football Talk and has been doing this for a really long time. Happy New Year to you. Enjoy the games this weekend. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
Thank you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.